4 of the Blue Bibles. But before we get there, let's just kind of remember what we're doing here on Sunday mornings. On our Sunday mornings, we've been looking at the core values of People's Church, those things that we believe are most important for us as a church biblically, that define who we are and what we do. Now, when we use a term like core values, it's kind of a big term, you know, it might be seem hard to understand. What are we talking about when we talk about core values? But many of us can understand core values from our experience growing up. Some of us grew up in families where our families had certain clear values that were just part of our life as a family. That was certainly true for my family growing up. I grew up in a large family, 10 children, 7 boys, 3 girls, lots of chaos, of course, and meal times could be very chaotic in a big family. But one of the core values of our family was you do not complain. You don't complain about anything, and you never complain about what's on the menu. Now, try to get a picture of the Murphy family coming together for dinner. 7 hungry boys, our sisters, mom's been working away day after day. She has to prepare for kind of half an army. She comes to the table with the evening meal, and some of us kind of turn up our nose. We don't like what's on the menu. Well, that didn't fly in the Murphy household. Every one of us, all my siblings and myself, will remember as long as we walk the face of this earth what mom would say. It was a core value of our family. Murphys eat what is set before them, and they don't complain. It's a core value. It determined who we are as a family. And as a church, we have core values drawn from Scripture, but stated in such a way that we can all get on the same page. These are not values just for our pastors or just for our leaders. They're values for all of us to share together. And each of us has a role to play in the church moving forward and achieving and living the values that we have. And so we've been looking at 6 values. We started off with God. Worshiping God is our highest priority, and the privilege of worshiping Him together. We moved on to prayer. Prayer is our greatest privilege as we seek God and His blessing. Last week with Pastor Chris, we looked at service. Service is our greatest privilege and our greatest influence. Our greatest influence doesn't come from having a big place in this world. Our greatest influence in the church comes from serving other people. We're going to go ahead in the weeks ahead and look at Christian community and mission. They're values that are right at the heart of who we are and what we seek to be as a church. And this morning I have the privilege of working on the value of spiritual growth. One of the values that we have as a church is spiritual growth together. Not that I get off in one corner and I try to grow in the way that I think is best, and this other person gets off in the corner and grows in the way that he or she thinks is best. It's a growth together. And so we've stated it like this. I'm going to read it, and then we'll read it together so it's well in our minds. Spiritual growth is a journey we pursue together. Becoming like Jesus Christ is our destiny. Let's say it together. Spiritual growth is a journey we pursue together. Becoming like Jesus Christ is our destiny. A wonderful privilege to walk forward, to grow together. Now, we can't unpack it all this morning, but we're going to try to lay a foundation, chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7 of Colossians, after we pause to pray together. Lord, the people around us, the people, the person on the chair next to us, behind us, in front of us, they're your treasures for our lives. We are in your plan on a journey that we take not alone, but a journey that if we're ever going to walk it the way you intended, be a journey together where we grow together to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, where you, as we live in you individually and as a church, begin to transform our lives into the wonderful image of Christ. Help us as we lay a foundation this morning to take steps in that journey by your grace and for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Almost all of us have had the experience of life of wanting to develop some kind of a skill or an ability. There was something we wanted to be good at. Maybe it was playing a musical instrument, piano, or some kind of a horn. We really wanted to develop that kind of an ability. Or maybe it was a sports skill, hockey, or tennis, or golf. We really wanted to be good at that particular ability. And so we set off trying to really grow in the ability to do that particular capacity, or to have that kind of capacity in life. Well, as life unfolded, we started off with great enthusiasm, but then along the way, as we met kind of problems along the way and things didn't go the way we hoped they would, we begin to lose our enthusiasm. Our growth begins to stagnate. We begin to stall in the growth of that skill. For me, one of those areas is the skill or the ability to fix things around the house. Now, I don't know that I ever really even got started in developing that ability, but at least I went and bought the book. Now, those of you who live in the YouTube age, you don't know how blessed you are. We didn't have YouTube in those days. Now, if you want to fix something around the house, you just go to YouTube. And it doesn't matter how obscure it is, whatever you want to work in, doesn't matter if there's only one other person on the planet who's ever done it, that person has shown you on YouTube exactly what to do. You're living an easy life, those of you who live in the YouTube age. Not for us. We didn't have YouTube. We had this Reader's Digest, the book. So I must have wanted to develop the skill, so I went out and bought the book, but it never really got off the ground, you know? That book sat on our shelf for years. And it was not an ability I had or developed. It just stalled before it even got started. Now, if you come to visit our house and you have a really good eye, you'll see that my ability to fix things got stalled a long time ago. Now, it's not as bad as it could be. My wife, Joyce, it turns out, is really good at fixing things. And if something's working around the house, it's because Joyce fixed it. But if you have a really good eye and you're a little bit suspicious, then you're going to see some ragged edges. One of them is the front porch. If you come to visit us, I advise you when you knock on the door to stand on the porch as close as you can get to the door. I think you're safe there. But if you get too far forward on the porch, I'm not going to guarantee what will happen, because if you go look under our porch, the two pillars that are supposed to support the front of the porch, there's about this much space between the pillar and the porch. I don't think it's supposed to be like that. And if I was good at fixing it, I'd get under it and fix it and make it solid. But I'm not. I got stalled. And so our porch is there as a potential hazard if you come and visit us. You can come in the back door. That's safer. But you get the sense. You know, we start something and we stall. Now, you know, some of us, if we were to describe our lives spiritually, we might describe our lives as stalled in terms of spiritual growth. Maybe you feel like that this morning. You came to Christ and you started off with wonderful enthusiasm, reading your Bible, praying, going to church. It was a wonderful start in life. But then as life began to unfold, there were some frustrations that came. You read the Bible and didn't understand what it was saying, didn't seem to speak to you, and you began to stall in terms of reading the Bible. You prayed, and those prayers just seemed to bounce off the ceilings, and things weren't going the way you expected, and you began to stall as you prayed. It came to church, and lo and behold, you ran into some little conflicts with people in the church, and all those things begin to be part of our lives, and sometimes our spiritual growth just begins to stall. Now, as we come to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul is writing to Christians in a place called Colossae. And as he writes to those Christians, he's going to be urging them to go forward in life, keep walking in Christ, keep developing spiritually. And as we look at verses 6 and 7, I've divided up into three parts. We're going to look, first of all, at the beginning of verse 6, where Paul is going to talk about the preparation for spiritual growth. How do you get started? What's necessary if you really want to start to grow spiritually? Paul will say in verse 6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, he'll talk about the foundation or the beginning, the preparation for spiritual growth. Then he'll go on in the middle of the verse and talk about the practice of spiritual growth. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith. There's the practice of spiritual growth. And then finally, right at the end of verse 7, the praise that should characterize lives that are growing in Christ and abounding or overflowing with gratitude. Now we're going to start at the beginning of verse 6, where Paul gives us the way to start. Here's how you start spiritually. He's writing to these Christians in Colossae, and he says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. The way they started to grow spiritually was to receive Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, it might not strike us what a wonderful indication and activity of the grace of God had been at work in the lives of these people. We can't reconstruct their entire story, but it went something like this. These were people living in a city called Colossae, which was in what is now modern-day Turkey. They'd grown up way far away from the land of Palestine. In all probability, they had virtually no contact with anything that bore witness to the true God, to anything that touched the Old Testament scriptures. These were people who apparently grew up with very little contact with the Word of God and with God's working in history. And they had had no contact with the gospel. But then something great happened in their experience. There was a man in their church, or the man in their city, by the name of Epaphras. He went on a trip and he met someone called Paul, the Apostle Paul. He began to interact with Paul. And as he was there conversing with Paul, there began to unfold for him a story that he'd never heard before. It was entirely new to him. It was a story that went all the way back to the beginning, that said this wonderful universe that we live in, the fantastic world that we have the privilege of inhabiting, didn't just happen. It wasn't the result of random forces. It didn't come about by the activity of some gods that couldn't be understood. It was the work of the Creator God. He had made it all. And it's a high point of his creation. He had made human beings, a man and a woman, and designed them so that their highest good would to be living in a relationship with him, to have the joy and the privilege of day after day and week after week and year after year living in a relationship with him. But then the story went on as Paul recounted it to Epaphras. Very early in human history, our first parents, rather than living in obedience to the living God, had chosen to go their own way, to do what they thought was best for them. They had fallen into what the Bible calls sin. And that wonderful relationship, it was to be right at the heart of who they were, that was to define all that they would become. That relationship had been broken because of sin. And now human beings, rather than living with the joy of their Creator, lived in rebellion against him. But then Paul went on and shared with Epaphras something that Epaphras had never, ever heard. That wasn't the end of the story. That off there in the land of Palestine, there was someone born, the Creator God in the person of Christ had become a man. He lived on this earth. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for sin. He'd been buried. He'd been raised again, ascended on high. And now a person could come back into that relationship with God. Not by being good, not by doing good things, but merely by receiving Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. It was a message they'd never heard before. Must have seemed strange in their ears, as maybe it seems strange to some of you who have not had a lot of contact with the gospel. But the grace of God had been at work in their lives, and they had received Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord, and started on a lifetime of spiritual growth. It's the only way you start. There is no other way to start to grow spiritually. There's no other way to get back in touch with the living God. There's no other way for your life to become what God Himself intends it to be than to receive Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, you notice Paul's very careful what he says, because he says in the beginning of verse 6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean very much for us living in North America. Most of us have never met a slave. We've never seen slavery at work. So when you talk about somebody being a Lord, it doesn't mean very much to us. But to these people, that meant something. There were people in this church who were slaves. They didn't live their life free to make their own choices, to go where they wanted to go, do what they wanted to do, be what they wanted to be, pursue what they wanted to pursue. They were slaves. Somebody told them every day of their life, this is what you're going to do. This is where you're going to be. This is where you're going to eat. They were slaves. They knew what it was to live with the human urging to be free and not have it. But miraculously, because of the grace of God, they had as a choice chosen a second slavery. Not only were they going to have an earthly Lord, but they had chosen to submit themselves to a heavenly Lord, a Lord who would have the right over all their life, everything inside them. They had received Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. There were people in this church who were lords, earthly masters. They had slaves. They knew what human power was. They knew what it was to be able to say to another human being, this is what you're going to do, and you don't have a choice. You're going to do it. They knew what it was to make decisions for other human beings and how that worked out in the life of that other person. But then they'd heard the message of the gospel, that to start in spiritual growth, you receive Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. And these lords, people with earthly power over other human beings, had come before the Lord of the universe and trusted Him as Savior and Lord. We can never start spiritually apart from receiving Christ as Savior and Lord. Doesn't matter how good you are, doesn't matter how many good things you do, doesn't matter how many spiritual occupations you pursue. We can never start spiritually outside of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But they had. And now they could grow, and that's what Paul wants them to do. Verse 6, as we move to the middle of the verse, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Now, there's the command. You've got to start. Now, walk all the time, day after day, year after year. Walk or live in Him. It was a command. It was a command given to the entire church. Paul wasn't saying, okay, now you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. You go off in your corner and you figure out how you're going to grow in your spiritual life. And you go off in your corner and you figure out how you grow. No, he's addressing the entire church. And the church together was to be on a journey together, growing together in Christ. Now, We might miss it because it's so brief, but much of this, the whole meaning and the whole secret to spiritual growth comes in what Paul says when he says, so walk in him. Right at the heart of spiritual growth, right at the heart of a lifetime of spiritual growth, is learning what it means to be in Christ, and then by faith, living that out. Now, we can't unpack all that this morning. As we go to 2019, we're going to be looking at discipleship and looking at some of the great truths of discipleship. So we can't unpack it all this morning, but we want to try to at least get some directions in terms of understanding what it is to live in Christ, because it's right at the heart of spiritual growth. So let's first of all notice what he doesn't say. Paul does not say, walk after Christ. He doesn't say, walk after Christ in this sense, that now you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, and he's now your model. He was good, so now you do everything you can be to copy him and you be good. He doesn't say, Jesus is loving, so you do work as hard as you can, you to be loving. He says something much more profound that unlocks so much of growth in spiritual life. He says, walk in him. In essence, he's saying, when you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, there was something that happened in your life. You may have not felt it. You may not understood it. But you receive it by faith that you came to be in Christ. You came into a relationship with him that cannot be broken. You've been linked to him. The scriptures will talk about being united to Christ. And as you live in Christ, it completely changes how life unfolds, because it's now Christ living through the life of the believer. Now, there's so much to unpack there, but let me give you just one illustration that may help us to get some kind of a sense of what Paul's talking about here. Think about what it is to be in a river. We live way out on the South Shore, not far from the Richelieu River. In fact, our little town fronts the Richelieu River, and it's a wonderful place to live. When my kids were growing up, the town had a boating club. So in the summertime, the kids could sign up and go down there, spend the summer kind of paddling around on the river in various kinds of boats. They had canoes and kayaks and various kinds of boats, and they could go down, paddle around. They had, among other things, some of those racing canoes. Let me tell you, those things are treacherous. I got in one once, and you know, if you just breathe, that thing's going to tip over. But my kids, you know, being kids, I don't know how it works, but quickly they learned the balance of all those kinds of things. And my son spent the summer, you know, kind of paddling around the river in various kinds of boats. By the end of the summer, he could stand up in one of those canoes. The only time I went out with him, I had to sit on the bottom of the canoe and hold on for dear life with both hands. By the end of the summer, he could stand up in the canoe. I don't know how it works with kids, but my son also would occasionally fall into the river. Now, I'm on the shore watching my little 11 or 12-year-old son float down the river. But on the shore, I can move about the way I want to move. There's not very much that constrains me as I'm on the shore. My son is in the river. And there is a very different force at work on his life than there was on my life. The river would move him along. The river would bring a force on his life that wasn't present on mine. And gloriously, that's what happens when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You come to be in Christ, and now Christ is at work in your life in a way that was never there before. And spiritual growth becomes learning what it means to be in Christ and then working that out by faith. Now, we can't unpack all that this morning, but let me just give you a couple ideas about how is it that we go about living in Christ, walking in Christ. Paul will, I think, give us some hints as you move through this particular book of the New Testament. Chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. As the word of Christ that we have in the scripture gets into the heart and life of a person, as we study it, as we memorize it, as we meditate on it, meditate not in the sense of just kind of letting our minds go, but meditate a little bit like some of us probably did when we were kids. You remember meditating on your birthday or Christmas? Now, your mind wasn't just off there wandering. Your mind was fully engaged. You were thinking about your birthday. When is my birthday coming? Who's coming to my party? What are they going to bring? Now, your mind wasn't just neutral by any means. Your mind was fully engaged as you meditated on the coming of your birthday. And that's what it is to dwell in the Word of Christ, getting that Word inside us so that it begins to be part and parcel of our lives. And as the Word gets inside us, it begins to change us because Christ is at work in life. We grow in Christ, chapter 4, and verse 1 and 2, by devoting ourselves to prayer. As prayer becomes a part and parcel of our life, prayer that reflects our understanding of Scripture, as prayer becomes more and more part of who we are, it's fundamental for growing in Christ. So Paul has said, now listen, you have a start, you receive Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord, now walk, live in Him. Right at the heart of spiritual growth is learning what it means to live in Christ and then living that out by faith. Now, it is not something we feel. Let me tell you, if you've had an active weekend, when the alarm goes off tomorrow morning and it's time to start the work week or the school week or whatever you do during the week, you're not going to feel like you're in Christ. You know, you don't just bounce out of bed and say, oh, what a wonderful day, I feel like I'm in Christ. You probably feel, some of us, pretty bad on Monday morning. So it's not something you feel. It's something you live because the Lord Himself said it's true. The Lord said you're in Christ. He said you believe this and you live it because I've said you're in Christ. Now, as you do, the scriptures say that the Lord's going to be doing some things in your life. Three of them indicated in verse 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted. He goes back to the past and says, when you received Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord, there was something that happened to you. You didn't feel it necessarily, but you became rooted in Christ. We have a big tree out in front of our house. Little front yard, big tree. It's way too big, in my opinion, for the front yard, but Joyce likes it, so it's going to stay. But it wasn't always that big. Yeah, it's like 15 meters high, way too big for our little front yard. But it wasn't always that big. When we got it, it was like a half a meter high. Neighbor gave it to us, put it in the ground, and I don't remember, but I don't think it really did very much for, you know, the first bit of time, just kind of sat there, a little sapling in the ground. Now, I never tried this because I would have gotten in trouble with Joyce, but I'm pretty sure that after a period of time, even though it looked like not much had happened, if I had gone and pulled on that tree, I would have been surprised that it wasn't coming out of the ground. It had been putting down roots. And as it put down those roots, it was placed in such a way that it now could grow, in my opinion, way too much. The scriptures say, you have roots. It's not something you feel, it's something you believe. Lord, You've given me the roots that I need to grow in Christ. Then as you walk in Christ, middle of verse 7, here are the things that He's doing in the present. having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him. If you live in Montreal, you can understand that, because every place you try to drive, somebody is building something. And so we understand what it is for something to be built up. It starts as unformed and unestablished, and then gradually it becomes more and more stable and permanent. And that's what the scripture is saying, that as you walk in Christ, the Lord himself is at work building you up. Again, it's not something you're necessarily going to be able to see. Oh, boy, last week I was like this, and this week I'm like this, and I got built up a lot this week. No, it's something that unfolds under the unfolding of life. But you know that it's happening because the Lord has said, I'm going to be at work building you up. And then established in your faith, just as you were instructed. For us to grow spiritually, there's some things we have to know and believe. They're found in the scriptures. But when we first come to the scriptures as a new Christian, it can seem like a literature that we just can't understand at all. Big words, justification, glorification, sanctification, predestination, big ideas, dead with Christ, raised with Christ, on high with Christ, all kinds of things that when we first come to the scriptures, I'll never understand this. But as you walk in Christ, the Lord himself is at work establishing you in that faith so that it becomes more and more absorbed into your life and then lived out in your life. So walk in him, and then very quickly, right at the end, he ends with, and this becomes something that the believer is to do by the grace of God, but the believer is to do, for he says, and overflowing with gratitude. One of the best signs that a person is growing spiritually, one of the clearest indications that the Lord is at work in the heart of a person, is a continual and growing gratitude, not just for all the temporal blessings in life, and we should be thankful for those, but for all those great things that the Lord has promised to do. And we can count on the fact that he's doing them, even though we might not feel like it. So what do we carry away? First of all, spiritual growth starts when you receive Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. Maybe you're here this morning, and like the Colossians, that's a message that maybe you've never heard in the same way before. You'd like to pursue it. There's some of us here who would be glad to sit down and share with you on what it means to receive Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. And then, as we saw, right at the heart of spiritual growth is learning what it means to be in Christ and living that by faith. And then finally, and this is really important for where we're going as a church, spiritual growth is a journey that we take together. No matter who you are, no matter how much or how little experience you have of the Christian faith, your growth is very much related to those people that are right around you. Look to the left, and right, in front of you, behind you. Those are the people that the Lord has placed around your life. And we can never be all that God intends us to be. We can never grow in the way that the Lord intends for us to grow unless we're on the journey together, in Christ, together, becoming like Christ. Pastor Chris is going to come and close the service.
Please, would you rise together?